Lord, we do worship you. We worship you alone. We thank you that you are our provision. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love marriage. We realize that you gave us the perfect model of marriage in the relationship between your son Christ and the bride, the church. And so what did you give up? What did Christ give up for his bride? He gave up everything. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us what that looks like in marriage in each of our lives, so our relationships might be a reflection of your goodness to each of us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amina.
Amina. Yeah, our grandkids love saying Amina.
Amina.
First of all, we're really thrilled to get to spend some time hanging out with you guys tonight, especially talking about a topic that is really near and dear to our hearts. You want to stand up too?
Can't sit.
Okay.
Fall off.
You know, one of the things that this is our second time to get the opportunity to serve and reengage, and one of the reasons Tawny and I wanted to do that is it's great for our marriage. And just the opportunity to continue to go back through and find out what's most important to God and try and weave that into our marriage going forward to make it even stronger than it was before. So please hear tonight, if there's any good in us, it is because of Christ. Christ alone has made all the difference in our lives. We're not going to go back and tell you our story and much about our journey in terms of how we came to Christ. I, as a 17-year-old, and Tawny, they're about the same time. But what we do want to tell you is just the blessing that it has been to journey with him. And then for the last 32 years, to journey with each other. And so we want to talk to you tonight about that journey and its highs and lows, mostly highs. This has been, you hear a lot of stories from this stage about prior wreckage that God has done redemptive work in and really transformed lives and changed. Ours is more a story of continual redemption.
I thought you were going to say wreckage.
Well, continual wreckage. No. We've been graced, by and large, to really have a marriage that has had an upward trajectory for most of its life. Tawny will talk a little bit about the seasons, hours, days, or seasons of disrepair. But the thing I want to just say starting out is we just strongly believe in what reengage is all about. You know, we talked about it. I talked about it when I prayed. You know, Christ is for marriage. That's our main message tonight. He loves you. He is for marriage, and he is for you. And that you matter to him. And this marriage journey that you're on matters to him. You must avail yourself of his wisdom. You must avail yourself of his instruction and learn to apply it in your lives. And then I'm going to wind up tonight really challenging you on something is, are you choosing to change? Are you choosing to respond to the Spirit of God in your life, to listen to his word, and choose to adapt it and accept it into your life? Because what I hope you hear tonight is it's been a rich reward for us doing that. Not perfect, but rich. There are no perfect marriages. What I loved about the journey this morning, and Michael Spain did a great job talking about Luke 9. And this is an important scripture because it happens two other places in God's word. Mark 8:34, one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus gets his disciples around him, and he said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man comes after me, he must do what? He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to gain his life must lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good does it do to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? So the message of marriage is learning to deny yourself for the good of the other person. It's living out Philippians 2, 3 through 4, which was our life verse. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but in humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than themselves. Do not look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others. So as we share our story tonight, we've divided it into the seven C's. You know, just pointing something. Oh, thank you. Can you cue the pictures? I always forget the family. You want to introduce the family?
No.
Go ahead. No, seriously. There they are.
This is Dean. I'm Tawny. We've been married 31 and a half years. That's our son and his wife, Matt and Sophie on the far side, Callie and Ryan, my mom and dad. Are they great looking? They're both in their 80s, I'm hoping. And then Dean and I. And Matt and Sophie have a little girl who's 2 named Sloan, and a little boy, Madden, who's 3 months old. And Callie and Ryan have a little girl, 18 months old, named Davy, and one on the way in August. And I didn't realize I was such a big grandmother advocate until you become one. You don't have to know until you become one, but goodness, it's fun.
Let's show them a couple of other children of ours.
Some of our, we can go to the next picture, some of our other, well,
those are our kids.
That's Bobblehead, and if y'all can come up with a name for the black one, I can't, Diablo, but that just seems like he's going to have a bad chance at life if we name him that.
Our other grandbabies, let's see the next picture.
And they're the girls. That's Davy on this left and Sloan on the right. And that's Dean.
Yeah.
And he's in Italy and he's Italian, so we're going to talk about that too.
I think there's one more picture of Madden.
What, do we have one more? Oh, there's Madden.
That's the newest addition to the family. Madden is about 3 months old, little boy.
Isn't he cute? Okay, now you don't have to live through any more grandbaby pictures.
Other than that, there's one more on the way. So.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about that a lot.
But we're through for tonight, no more.
Thank you. I love my life. I'll just talk loud. There we go. Okay, what we want to talk about is the 7 C's of marriage. Watermark has a way of, you know, putting acronyms to everything. And for us, these are the 7 C's of marriage. It's Christ, commitment, communication, community, cash, conflict resolution, and copulation. And I know y'all want us to jump straight to number 7, right? But you got to wait for just a minute for us to talk about that. I talked about this briefly, just that we love Christ, we love being married. We've taken the approach in our relationship that to being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That is a wonderful verse that is just really a challenge to do in marriage, as I know all of you know. But God gives us rails to run on, and we decided early on to adapt the attitude of Christ, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I think at the end of the day, thanks, Robbie. I think at the end of the day, Psalm 55:22 says that we can cast our cares upon the Lord and he will sustain us. That's what we do daily in marriage. And so Rick Warren communicates this really well. No matter how good things are in life, there's always something bad that needs to be worked on. And no matter how bad things in life, there's always something good that you can thank God for. You can focus on your purposes or you can focus on your problems. And I think Tawny and I have really chosen to choose joy, to focus on our purposes, and really believe that he spared us unnecessary suffering in that regard. So as we kind of get started in this, we really want to relay one important truth. In this scripture, if you've been around Watermark very long, you've heard it often. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God might be fully equipped for every good work. We are not capable to deal with the things that are going to come at us in this world without learning and appropriating God's word and having it inform every aspect of our lives. And so, as Tony really walks us through this, I want us to speak for both of us. We believe with all of our heart that there's nothing we'll face that God will not provide a way out if we yield ourselves to him. And so Psalm 119 tells us you cannot give to others what you do not possess yourself. And that's really the main message of what we want to articulate tonight. You got to spend time with Jesus, your Bible, and then be able to confess your sin and restore your relationship with each other quickly. I'm a big person about knowing a mission and where you're going. And Tawny and I decided at an early age that was an important aspect. We would set that course for our marriage together. And we developed a family mission statement. I talked about our verse. I won't spend a lot of time on that, but just be a student of your wife and your husband, understanding your gift in this. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received, past tense, as a new believer, being faithful to administering God's grace in its various forms. So understanding your gifts, applying those gifts individually and collectively in marriage has just been a great blessing to us. So it's up to you.
Yeah, mine's gone. I mean, I'll use this one. Another part of marriage that's really important, I think of those 7 as a pie, and I tried to get a pie graph on my computer didn't happen. So if you just think of them as each a slice of pie, then another one is commitment. And it is true. You hear it said all the time that life is a marathon and not a sprint. And that's what commitment is about. And life is hard, but our God is good. And He didn't leave us alone in the struggle. He gave us His Spirit, which is the power for us to do what the Bible, His Word, tells us to do. But we have to choose each day who we're going to follow, whether we follow God and His abundant life and His truth and promises, or whether I choose myself. What Dean talked about, we must die to ourselves, but many times I choose myself, and it has always led to a path of death and destruction. So commitment is really perseverance. And God, throughout His Word, has just encouraged us. He knows that we are weak. I heard encourage means to pour courage back into Him. This is where we find our encouragement, is in God's Word. He tells us, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't grow weary. That's Galatians 6:9. And He tells us, this is one of another verse that we've woven in and out of our marriage and our child rearing and now our grandparenting. It's from 1 Corinthians 15:58. Dear brothers, again, He loves us, just like we sang tonight, that He loves us and He's strong. But He says, dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing. That means nothing. The things that hit us in our jobs and our marriages and our family, don't let anything move us away from Him. Be fully devoted to the work of the Lord. For our labor in the Lord is not in vain. He says He watches us and looks to and fro throughout the whole world to see whose hearts He can richly support. So that's us if we really just trust Him and obey. I used to teach two-year-olds, and that was one of my favorite songs, which kind of is probably, if there's a secret sauce to life and to marriage, it's that. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Because I can remember that, trust and obey. And then the another one that is just a great verse on perseverance and commitment, because it talks about hope in the end, which is what Dean and I are talking about tonight. There's hope no matter where we are, in what circumstance we find us. God is there waiting for us. In Romans 5:3-5, and this is one, go home tonight and read it before you go to bed, because we get to exalt in our tribulations. And the reason we get to do that is a lot of times hope is born out of suffering. But the verse says we exalt in tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which He has given us. So God is for us, just like the song said again. Doug, thank you. And Rob, for singing those songs, I thought, how perfect. You know, just a reinforcement of He is strong, He is able, and He wants us to enjoy life and marriage and spouses, but we must, can y'all say it? Trust and obey. Dean, why don't you talk about community?
I would love to. So I'll just take a minute to talk about the importance of community in our lives and the radical difference it's made. This is something long before Watermark, we really chose and purposed to do as a couple. We chose to involve other people in our lives, have them pray for us pray for them, help us raise our kids. You know, there definitely is wisdom in the counsel of many. And for us, it was a tremendous blessing to avail ourselves to other couples. We, you know, some of our communities here tonight, I mean, we would not be the people we are today without these folks in our lives. We just wouldn't be. There's no doubt about it. They've helped shape and craft and carve us. The scripture, 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Community takes time. You got to be organized, you got to plan it, and you got to invest in it. It's not easy to develop meaningful relationships, but it is critical that you do it. And so I won't spend a ton of time on that other than just to remind you, Hebrews 10:24-25 just always says, let us not stop meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Community is about being together, praying together, and encouraging one another about the hope that we have in Christ. And so live in community with others that can help you grow and lead lives that honor God. Initiate. That's such a big deal. You know, men, we have to reject passivity. We have to accept responsibility. We have to live courageously and live for a cause larger than ourselves. And the way we do that in our families is surrounding ourselves, humbling ourselves before the wisdom and counsel of other people. It's not always, honey, it's my way or the highway.
when we're leading in our family. It's got to be a joint decision. It's got to be something we really both feel before the Lord is the best thing for us and for our ministry together. So I'm not going to actually go into Joshua, just in the interest of time. Why don't you just keep going? Well, let's do this. Just remember, community is just a piece of this puzzle. And what we want to keep saying is that these are all a cycle. Tony's pie chart is so important, but community is one you cannot undervalue. And so it's a great opportunity. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a big part of what community is about.
Real quick.
We're running out of time. It's darn, we didn't get to that last one. But we really are so thankful about Reengage and the tools that it gives you to sharpen all these areas in your life. And Dean and I, you know, if we rank our marriage, I mean, by God's blessing, His grace and mercy, and a lot of work, our marriage has been between an 8 and a 10 for 31 years. It's a wonderful marriage, but it's not always wonderful days or weeks or seasons. On the whole, we can have it bring it back to a wonderful marriage because we get to use these tools about Pam and John told us not to be weenies when we communicate. We use that a lot. And we have been learning for 31 years that conflict, if we look at it as a chance to glorify God, grow ourselves, and serve others, then we can enter into conflict. We are called to be peacemakers, not peace fakers. God, the chapters on forgiveness, there's two chapters in our book. We've just gotten through those in our group. But I keep going back to them. I mean, they're so important. That book that we have is so great. It's such a reference tool. And again, 31 years in marriage, we still practice on these things and go back to them. But forgiveness is not an option. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says that he has called us to a ministry of reconciliation. So we really don't have a choice. Just do it. Take one action item a day and start working on it. He wants to get to the copulation. I had one girl, she said, y'all can talk about it, and she said, I don't know what that is. And I said, you're single, you should not. It is defined by Webster as intercourse, sex, making love. Well, our marriage is really, like I said, has been by God's grace and blessing, really a 9 or a 10. But there are different pieces of that pie that we work on and work on more frequently. And the one, when Dean and I were going before the Lord and saying, what do you want us to talk about and what do you want us to share about? And I had this really dumb idea of, I think we should talk about physical intimacy. And then I looked at Dean and said, I think that was a mistake. I don't think I heard him right. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that. And then he said, no, I think we should. And I went to my community and I said, you know, I don't think we should talk about that, do you? And they said, no, I think you should. And I even asked my daughter, who's married, and I said, you don't think we should talk about sex, do you? And she goes, no, I think you should. So it's going to be pretty brief, but what I wanted to say, brief, there are so many words that you just can't use the whole time. I was thinking, every time I say something, we're working on it, we're, you know, just double meaning. But
we're shooting for a big goal. Go ahead.
Shooting for a big goal, that's, see, you're just, He's loved talking about this. But if one area that we have had to use all our tools in the box has been physical intimacy. And I think no wonder, because one of the purposes, the main purposes God made marriage, it's for oneness. And people who are married get to experience that oneness through making love. And Satan, who's a liar, a cheater, a thief, and he's just ornery, wants to steal that. From the very beginning of time, he wants to destroy our oneness. And so for us to have struggles in sexual relationships is no surprise. And let me tell you, I was going to say, I'm going to invite you into our bedroom. Not exactly. But Dean had mentioned earlier that we need to be a student of our spouse. So I'm going to tell you about Dean really fast, about this man that I love. Dean's mother's maiden name is Matucci. And that, for those of who of us live in Texas, he's Italian. And Dean is Mr. Sensual. I mean, all his senses are on high gear. I don't know what you should be sweating. And, I mean, when he tastes something, He's also emotive. He will go on and on and on about how good it is, how great it is. You know, when he touches something, it's just amazing. When you go to Italy, you can barely contain him because his senses are on overload. He's very, very, very emotive. He's also goal-driven. He's very purposeful, which also makes him analytical. He likes to look at everything from every side and come back and how can we do this better? You can take double meaning on that. And really analyze it, and he's very verbal, really likes to talk about it, and he is Mr. Superlative Man. Best ever, greatest, which is such a great deal. That is God's way he has wired him, and it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. But that wiring and personality goes with us into our bedroom. And then there's me, Tawny, and I'm an Amarillo Ian, which is not really a word, but if anybody's driven to Amarillo on the way to Colorado, you know it's flat. It's just kind of a plane. Well, that's kind of me. I'm just kind of like here, just really level, even-keeled. I don't go real high, and I don't go real low. And that's a giftedness that God has wired me and gifted me with that can be wonderful, but it can also be just kind of content to do anything. I'm more reserved. Don't look like it right now. Dean's goal-driven. I don't even look at my calendar. Therefore, I miss our community dates a whole bunch. I forget prayer time. I'm just kind of, I was an art major. I'm just all over the place. And as far as food, I could eat the same dadgum turkey sandwich every single day of my life and not really care about it. I mean, it was a turkey sandwich. No big deal. And the reason I'm even bringing this up is our personalities come in between the sheets with us. And it can be great, but it can also cause some miscommunication. And the great thing about our God is that he knows how we're wired. And I wanted Dean to read that book, the verse from Joshua 1:8, because if you want to know how to prosper, we're to not let the book of the law depart from our mouth, but we are to meditate on it day and night so that we will be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and then you will be successful. And I love that part, but the one I really wanted to say even before that was Jeremiah 29:11 that we all love. I know the plans I have for you to prosper you, to bring you success. But without the meditating on the scripture day and night, we don't get the success. So even in the bedroom, I think that all the scriptures that Dean talked about, that some of our live verses, come right in there. You know, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but in all things, think of the others more important than us. So for us, through our marriage, we have talked more about this issue. He's talked a lot more than I have. I've listened and done my withdrawing into the corner, but I've learned to come back out and talk about it. Never thought I'd talk to you all about it. But it is worthwhile struggle. But these tools that we're learning and re-engage can help us in every area, especially in physical intimacy. We have learned to resolve conflict over our physical intimacy and talk with each other. And then go back to, if we understand who we are, like the way I'm wired and the way he's wired, it gives you a little, said another bad word, step up to understanding each other. And so we use conflict resolution, and we're out of time, and communication, and we've also even brought in our community. We've gone and asked them for help. And so what I want you to hear is, again, whether you're struggling with your commitment or communication or conflict or copulation, which is a funny word, I think, that trust God, obey God, know that he's for you, he loves you, he wants what is good for you. Don't be surprised at the battles that we fight, because we do have an enemy in our flesh, and the one who roars around like a devil trying to eat us and prowl. So know your spouse, know their wiring, their giftedness, their love language. For me, I thought, I'm a student of Dean in his boardroom and in his bedroom. And it's a fun thing to keep working on. So remember that hope is born out of suffering or misunderstanding, and that you don't have to be hitting on all cylinders to be successful, and never forget God's for you.
Well, I'll finish up with just two things as it relates to our physical relationship. One, ladies, I can't communicate to you enough. If your husband is anything wired, anything like I am, the accolades of the world are meaningless to me. The one voice of Christ and his second voice, my wife, are the things that really beat my drum. And so when I think about who I want to please, I always live my life for Christ. But then the one who I want to hear attaboy from is really Tawny. I'm really not that interested in hearing from the world as I am from that one person. And so, ladies, just know the power of encouragement and affirmation in the lives of your man. The second thing, in just in terms of our physical relationship, we just learned something last Saturday with the folks that we were kind of working through this with. And one of the guys said something that was really powerful. He said, you know, with sex, it's not just a desire to, yeah, I will have sex with you. What's super, super important for a man is that, no, I really want to have sex with you. I desire you physically. And that, frankly, has been an area of our marriage that we continue to work on with each other. Because we want to please God in every area of our lives, including the bedroom. So as we think about these things, we hope they've been encouraging to you. You know, it's a blessing to get to share a little bit of our story. We thank you for the opportunity to do that. We're going to wind this up with just one last thought. And that's one of the things we're going to share in our group tonight. Is that we think it fits well here. God is a God of transformation, not information. You've heard that before. He really wants you to respond to his spirit, his word, the correction from other people. You know, if you're not changing, if you're not growing, odds are that you're listening to the wrong voice. So our encouragement to you is your feelings, your desires, your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups, by and large, are not of Christ. And so if you're not reading and meditating on God's word and asking him to change you and then choosing to change by the power of his spirit at work in your life, then you got to ask yourself what voice you're listening to. We thank you for the opportunity. And let me just pray and we'll dismiss you to groups. Robin, do you have anything else you need to say? Okay, Susan. Father, thank you for this evening. Thanks for these folks and their continuing desire to be sharpened and encouraged and meet together to have you working and through us. We just look forward to what you have for us the rest of the evening. Thank you for marriage and your picture of it. We pray this in your name. Amen.